You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today is the day of Pentecost here in 2018, and we are focusing on the Holy Spirit and His work. Let's think about some key things, first of all, about the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He was present at creation. He was at work during the Old Testament. He was spoken of by Jesus in the Gospels. He was poured out on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after Easter, and He is with us even today in order to teach us, guide us, and empower us. As we turn to our readings today here at Bethlehem, we're going to look at them chronologically today. So we're going to start with the Psalm, we're going to go on to the Old Testament reading, then the Gospel, and then we get into our New Testament history as we look at the book of Acts and the actual account of the day of Pentecost. With all those different readings, we're going to be focusing on the Holy Spirit and His work. Going back to Psalm 139 for a few moments here, this is where David prayed about the Lord's complete knowledge of all things. David prayed, "O Lord, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Let's remember that the Spirit of God was active in the Old Testament as well as He is active today. Let us also know the Holy Spirit is omniscient, so He knows all things, and even now He is dwelling within baptized believers. Let's go back now to some key things here in Ezekiel 37. So let's understand that prior to the reading, the southern kingdom of Judah had been conquered by the Babylonians, who were the world power at that time. So what did the Babylonians do? They came and they destroyed the temple, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and they destroyed much of the wall that was around Jerusalem. Also, they took many of the people by force and brought them to Babylon, about 1,000 miles away. When you think about all of that, when the people thought about it, it looked like the southern kingdom was done forever. It would never come back. It was completely over. But the Lord was working through Ezekiel here to show the people that He can do what seems impossible. So the vision that we have here, it took place in a valley. It was a valley full of bones. And the Bible says, "Behold, those bones were very dry." In other words, they were very dead. Seemed impossible. Then the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy over these bones, hear the word of the Lord." Then as Ezekiel spoke the word of the Lord, what was going on here? This is the Holy Spirit part. What was going on? The Spirit of God was working through the word of the Lord in order to give the people the gift of spiritual life, and in order to promise the people that the southern kingdom would, in God's time, be restored. When we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, it is powerful, it is important, and yet it is unseen. And we know how that goes in life. Oftentimes, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. The Holy Spirit, though, He is there, He is powerful, even with us today. Going back to the gospel reading here from John chapters 15 and 16, let's find some highlights here regarding the Holy Spirit. First of all, Jesus spoke these words to His disciples late on Holy Thursday, and He told them about the Helper. And the Helper is the one who would come. So the Helper would come from God the Father to Jesus, and then from Jesus, He would come to those who believe in Him. And then Jesus told about some of the work of the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Holy Spirit will witness about me." He said, "The Holy Spirit will bear witness about me." In other words, He will testify about me. So think about someone being on the witness stand in a courtroom. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing, giving solemn testimony about important things about our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the Holy Spirit knows everything about Jesus, he was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and he was poured out in order to teach Jesus' disciples, in order to move them to write down the New Testament scriptures, and also to teach and empower us even today. So his work was way back then, and it has continued even to today. And then Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will convict the world. A little more technically here, the Holy Spirit will reprove the world. What does that mean? The job of the Holy Spirit is to express disapproval with what's going on in the world. So to express disapproval to people that they are trusting in themselves rather than in Jesus Christ. To express disapproval to people that when God says no, they are saying yes. And to express disapproval to people when people say yes where God has said no. So the Holy Spirit's work is to reprove or to convict. And he is going to do that concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Let's think about those three words for a moment in just a little bit more detail. So he will convict the world concerning sin, since they do not believe in me. That's what Jesus said. In other words, the Holy Spirit is at work to impress upon unbelievers that they are still in their sin and that they are under God's condemnation. What happens when he impresses that upon them? Some of them, by God's grace and power, they repent and they are saved. Others, they reject the work of the Holy Spirit, they reject Jesus Christ, and they are in trouble forever. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "You shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am the light of the world, you shall die in your sins." When people reject the work of the Holy Spirit, they are rejecting the work of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning righteousness. And he says he will do so since I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. So the Holy Spirit impresses upon people that their righteousness, their goodness, is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Almost all people in the world, they are trusting in their own goodness, and the Holy Spirit is there to show them that their own goodness means nothing in the sight of God. It cannot save them. It counts for nothing. For some people, when they hear that convicting, they keep making up excuses for their sins, and they're like, "No big deal. I'm not that bad. I think I'm fine." A lot of people come to such conclusions, but for some, though, by the grace of God, for some, they confess their sins, they believe in Jesus Christ, and they are forgiven. And then Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world concerning judgment, since the ruler of this world has been judged. What is the Holy Spirit doing? He's basically saying to people, "Do you know who the leader of all this evil is? It is Satan himself." And then the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to understand that the leader has been judged. So if you are following that leader, because the leader has been judged, all of his followers will also be judged." The Holy Spirit wants people to know that. That's bad news to follow Satan. But then Jesus has good news, though. He said in another place in the Bible, he said, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." Notice the present tense. Not will have, future, but has eternal life. "And does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." God wants us to know that when we know Jesus Christ, we are blessed now and forever. Jesus also said, "The Holy Spirit will guide you into the truth. He will declare to you the things that are to come." Since the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father, so think about that. God our Father in heaven, he's the Spirit of God the Father, and he dwells within us who believe. He is able to communicate to us all the truth, and if he desires, he is able to communicate to us all future things. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, but he is able to do so. Consider this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 on what the Holy Spirit knows and shows to us. The Bible says, "Things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." In other words, most people don't know what God has prepared for those who love him. But it goes on and says, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So the very Spirit of God, which has searched the depths of God, he is the one living in us and can make all those things known to us. So the Holy Spirit, though unseen, though not thought about very often, maybe in some cases, he is there and he is wanting to bless us in all kinds of amazing and wonderful ways. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2 here for a brief time. So just as Jesus had promised before he died on the cross about the Holy Spirit, so he was poured out. That happened on the day of Pentecost. It happened during the Old Testament festival of Pentecost. It happened 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead. So what work did the Holy Spirit do on that particular day? The Holy Spirit filled the disciples of Jesus, so they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those who heard the disciples speak were devout men from every nation under heaven. Keep in mind, this was the Old Testament festival of Pentecost, so all of the men were required to gather, and there were many, many there from every nation under heaven. With those who were gathered upon hearing, they said of the disciples, "We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." What does that mean? God worked a miracle so that all who were gathered there heard the mighty works of God, we might say, in their native language, in their first language, in the language they understood the best. The Holy Spirit also fulfilled the prophecy written in the book of Joel. This is part of it. The Bible says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So what does it mean about all this prophesying? We need to get that figured out. When we tend to think about prophecy, we tend to think about predictions of the future. But let's understand, though, that that is prophesying in what we might call the narrow sense. And prophesying in the narrow sense is a very rare kind of a situation. Here, though, we're talking about prophesying in what we might call the broad sense. This is the much more common way to deal with prophecy, even though I think in our own minds we tend to have it locked in about the narrow sense. But really, though, we need to forget that a little bit and think about what the broad sense of what it means to prophesy. Lenski has an excellent note here. He wrote that the chief effect of the Spirit's activity is always prophesying in the broad and far more important sense of voicing the saving and blessed will of God to men everywhere. So what is prophesying? Even as I share the word of God with you now, I'm prophesying. Even as I read the assigned readings earlier, I was prophesying. If you go home and share the word of God with a family member, you will be prophesying. If you go to work tomorrow and share the word of God with a coworker, you will be prophesying. So to prophesy is simply to share God's word with others, and God wants all of us to do that. He wants us to know what his word says. He wants us to share it with others. So may God help us to know it better and better, and then to watch for and seize those opportunities to share the word. Now, honestly, it might be difficult for us to speak it sometimes, but we have the word of God in many forms, don't we? We can give someone simply one of our Bethlehem cards, and that will have a little bit of the word of God on it, but it will also help them, though, to be able to go to our website and get a whole bunch of the word of God. So you don't even have to speak the word of God. Simply hand someone the card or take a card and leave it somewhere anonymously, and maybe someone will find it and benefit from it. We have all kinds of other forms of the word of God out there in our narthex, from copies of sermons to copies of brochures to good news magazines to devotional booklets. That's all sharing the word of God. God wants us to receive such things, to benefit from them first, and then to gladly share them with others. So finally, at the end of this reading, the Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did the Holy Spirit do on that first day of Pentecost? As far as the New Testament is concerned, the Holy Spirit enabled 3,000 people to be sorry for their sins and to believe in Jesus as their Savior. And then what happened on that very same day? The Bible says they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, and they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have received the same in our baptisms. Let's know that we have the Holy Spirit, so let's stop going through life as if we are like a corded drill that is not plugged in. Can't do much with that, can you? But when you plug it in, though, it has much power and makes a huge difference. Let's remember that God has plugged us in. He has plugged us into the Holy Spirit. He has given us power. So let's stop living in our own weakness, our own power, and let's remember that we are plugged in. Let's live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's live under the glory of God, and let's live in such a way that God might use us to be a blessing to others. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us into God's family and helping us to understand God's word. Help us even now to go forward with your power and with your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions, needs, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.